What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Your Mix Sucks podcast. We've been out of the loop for a while now on here, but we're back with brand new, freshly baked episodes. Today we have the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend with us, and that is Toby.
Yeah. Sup? What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. You're in Berlin. That's right. And I'm here in the studio, but we got the internet. And over the last, I think, four episodes that we did in German now, I figured out that my intros are too long, so I'm going to keep this one short. Saying thanks, everybody, for coming back. We know we haven't been doing a lot of these in English, so that's why we're back today, like I said. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is... something that we covered in German, but we don't want to forget about our huge, gigantic international audience. And that is something that I think has become ever more important to everybody working in the music business, let's say, or the music industry, however you want to call it. And that is kind of finding a balance between being really, really good at something, for example, like, you know, being that expert at something, and having a lot of different players in the game, let's say. I just want to talk to you how you see that balance in today's music industry, because we had a guest in the studio about a week ago, and he's a singer, but he's also a vocal coach. He's playing in a lot of different bands. And so he's been talking about, even for him, it was pretty difficult throughout the time of Corona to find that income source somewhere, because a lot of his income was based on live gigs, and we all know how that turned out. So how do you see that balance, or where do you see that sweet spot between being really, really good and an expert at something, or just having a lot of different skills?
That's a good question. Taking notes because I don't want to miss any points here. So, there's that 80-20 rule I'd like to follow there. Being really good at in a very specific field, it requires a lot of work and training. And I think it was Brian Eno who said that someone said that it might take you about 10,000 hours of training to become a real expert in a field. Mm-hmm. And that is a very long time. And the question would be, can you survive, you know, becoming that that expert without looking left and right to, you know, like to nurture other skills you might have or you might need. So I would follow, like, you know, you can't be a jack of all, you can be a jack of all trades, but you will never be really, really good at something. So, like I said, 80-20, try to focus on a topic and dig deeper, but always keep an eye on the left and right side of things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start, but I think you also have a sort of a unique viewpoint because you've been in a lot of different positions throughout your career, I would say, because the old place you used to work at started out with, from what I can remember, please tell me if I'm wrong here, but started out pretty much with a couple of people trying to build something, all the way up to being like a global player in a specific industry, and you also having a lot of people under you, so as like more in a management and team leading position. And how do you see that difference between, I'll tell you how I see it. So if you're an expert in something, that's like a really strong case to get hired somewhere. So if I'm really, really good at project management, that's something that, you know, is out there. That's there's a demand for that position. But if I'm trying to start something from the ground up, it might not be enough to just be completely focused on one skill or one thing, because there's so much stuff that can come up and that needs to be taken care of. So that's like kind of like how I view it from the outside looking in. But I'd really like your take on this.
Maybe it's you know, it changes. You got to be flexible. You know, there might be times when you start out as a musician. Same with you. I mean, like when you learned all the music theory behind playing the guitar and all your deep dives into. I mean, you're a jazz musician after all, so that took a lot of practice.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No, I'm not a jazz musician at all.
Not?
No, I like music, but I'm not a jazz musician.
But you studied jazz, right?
I studied jazz, yeah, but I'm not a jazz musician. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Okay, yeah, all right, didn't know. See, I'm the finance guy here. I don't know anything about...
That's fine. You take care of taxes. That's cool with
me,
man.
Oh, yeah, that's so much fun.
It's needed.
Nah. Yeah, but...
Guess what's not needed? Jazz.
God. Yeah.
Got him. Sorry.
Yeah, like I said, I think you have to be if you start out, no matter what you do, but talking about music, you got to be flexible. You can of course say, yeah, okay, now I'm totally focused on learning other music theory, or recording, getting the music out there, but then you might bump across challenges that you might bump into challenges that are not related to music, but that come simply with, you know, becoming an artist.
Yep.
You have to, you know, founding not a company, yeah, but maybe, yeah, yeah, but you gotta, you know, when things get bigger, you gotta eventually meet up with people who can either take care for you, you know, taxes, or they take care of the design of your covers and whatnot, or you have to do that yourself, and then that is time consuming, which again takes away the time for the, you know, for being focused. So very hard to say. I think you're gonna be flexible. Yeah.
I also think that the music business or industry is a little bit different, because especially nowadays, there's not a whole lot of structure in it, or at least the classic structures have lost relevance over the years. So there used to be a pretty defined path of how you kind of get music out there and how you release music and what everybody's role was in that process. And now
you refer to, so basically, like, you record a few demos, send them to a label, get signed, get famous, right?
Pretty much. And then you have the studio musician who does his job, and then you have the recording engineer who does his job, and then you got the assistant who does who helps the recording engineer, and then it goes to a guy who does mixing, and a guy who does mastering, and then a guy who does promotion, and then the radio DJ. So it's all pretty like set and defined roles and jobs.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays, if you look at how the vast majority of music is put out there, it's scrambled together, man. There's ways to build that structure around yourself if you do it, if you're that type of person.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the industry doesn't reward that those expertise quite as much as it used to do, because even for Mark told me about an interview he heard with Michael Brauer. You know, he got like all those plugins with Waves and did a ton of mixing. And even he's like, I'm moving out of my studio. I'm selling all of my equipment just because I don't get enough income to support that anymore.
Yeah.
And so even if you're like on the top of your game, in the music industry, that doesn't guarantee you a steady income anymore.
Not at all.
Or at least on that level. So I feel like it's a little bit different than, for example, I don't know, business, or if you want to become a teacher, there's like a defined path. I feel like it's different.
It's totally different, and it's totally destructive for everybody who's been in the game for a very long time, who have who are used to a certain standard of living, for sure. But for everybody who's up and coming now, I mean, if there's everything you have and everything you need is a room, a computer, a mic, a good mic, and a DAW.
That's pretty much it.
That's low fixed costs. Always give you advantage over people or systems that have like that huge need for a lot of flow, a lot of artists going through the workflow in order to really keep it going. Think of a label or, but you as a single artist nowadays, there are no rules, and that's the pro side and the con side at the same time. So
yeah, kind of both sides of the ball as always. Another point that I kind of want to look at in that regard is just what type of person you are. Like a lot of the times, I think just forget about the system and the business side of it. I think it's also a game of self-awareness. And I think some people, they really want to be really good at something because they love it more than anything else, and that's all they want to do. And that's great. And I also feel like there's other people, and I see myself more in that category, who are like, I'm interested in a ton of stuff, and I understand that I'm never going to be the best at video editing, never going to be the best at producing, never going to be the best at Facebook advertisement or whatever you want to come up with. But I like doing all of it, and I at least want to be good enough at it so I can have a conversation with somebody who's really good at it.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I think that's a big component too. If I'm managing a team, I got to be able to communicate with them and just let them know what I need from them, what I want from them.
Ideally.
And if I have no idea about video editing, I'm just going to be like, yeah, just edit the video. It's going to be done tomorrow, right? And it might just be completely unrealistic. But when I know that, I'm like, we're shooting at that frame rate. We're shooting with those cameras, so they're going to have a specific color space. And we're going to, distribute it on this, and this channel. So that's what you got to take care of. So it's about the communicating. And in your position, when you were at a management position, how did that play into the whole managing a team experience, that communication component? Because I think it gets underestimated a lot.
I think it is in terms of skills, I never ever asked anything from my team members that I haven't done myself. So I always made sure that whatever task was put upon us from my boss, I made sure that I either had the experience myself, or I had, I worked hands-on with my team for two reasons. I think that it's a motivational thing. And two, you gotta control and you gotta check. And if someone tells you that he needs like 20 hours for a task that could be done in 2 hours, how do you want to know? You gotta know, right?
Yep.
So you better hands-on attitude to some extent, like you said, being able to talk on a qualified level with someone that is that, that common knowledge in certain areas, maybe your knowledge even exceeds or ideally exceeds in some areas the average Joe know-how level. Which brings me to another question. The question of motivation. Why should someone be interested in a specific field? And don't know how things are with you, but sometimes, you know, my interest in things shifts. It happens rarely, of course.
I love
music, and I never understood music theory until I sat down myself and really, you know, forget school. I taught it myself, basically. And that was a whole different thing. That was a different motivation. And so whenever you want to really deep dive, you have to want it. And I was wondering, is there a way how you can convince yourself, how we can convince ourselves to really want something? You know, there's, you might be slightly interested, but you're not fully there yet. How can you feel, how can you gain traction? How can you kind of get warped into a topic? This is something that I've been thinking about recently. How can I create that motivation and trigger to really deep dive into a topic?
You mean create that for yourself, or like, for example, for a team of yours?
For myself, first and foremost, and you know, for a team, it's a question of motivation. So,
yeah, that's kind of where I was going. I honestly don't know, because I never had a problem with that. For me, it was more about not holding myself back, because I was interested in a lot of things and I wanted to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And at some point you have to choose something, or not really choose one thing only, but kind of like say no to other things. So that's always been more my problem. How do you motivate yourself for something that you kind of about? I don't know. And honestly, I think if I was managing a team, that's something that I would have trouble with. Because I don't understand how you cannot be motivated. If you're applying for this job and you're not motivated to do it, I don't understand how I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not, why did you even apply? That kind of thing. And I understand that that's not really like the real world. I get that. But that's like something I think I would really struggle with if I had to manage a team.
Same. Dude, if there's one advice I would give to anyone is you can't work in a job that you don't like. You never should, because your performance will underperform. And even if you try, it will feel like pain. It's not fun. And don't waste your time with something that is not fun, unless it pays you a shitload of money. And there's your answer. There's your answer. Why do people do call center jobs? Because at least in sales, there is a chance that you might be paid in a quite attractive financial way. And it is quite a challenging job. It is quite, it's certainly not something for everybody, but you know, sales in general will pay you good money. So you don't need the money. If money is the motivation, there you go.
But I will throw that in there. If you're doing sales, and even if you're really good at it, you're kind of like a natural salesperson. You know how to talk, you know how to present. What if you don't like the product you're selling, or you're not convinced that it's actually valuable to the customer? Because that comes back to like the motivation things. Like, how do you motivate yourself to sell something that you know is shit?
That would be lying, basically. I would not recommend doing that.
All right. Unless it pays you a shit ton of money.
Unless it pays you a shit ton of money, indeed. No, but you can always, you know, come up with, you know, at least you don't have to love a product to sell it, but you put yourself in the position of someone who might benefit from it. You know, think yeah. of the benefits and communicate the benefits of a product in an appealing way. And then you can even sell, I don't know, shoes. I don't know.
Hey, man, let's sell some shoes.
Recently bumped into a documentary about Married with Children, you know? Eine schrecklich nette Familie in German.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Al Bundy and stuff. Loved it. Loved it.
Of course.
What a show. You can't do that nowadays anymore. Everybody will get offended.
Yeah. I think it's tying it back into the whole music thing a little bit. I think it's a combination of a lot of different aspects, and I still believe that, like, the whole knowing what you're good at, really understanding, being honest to yourself, like, with what you can't do and where your strengths are, is so important. That lays the framework for a lot of different things, and then it doesn't really matter anymore if we're talking about music or somebody trying to sell shoes. You know what I mean? And once you understand that, it gets a lot easier, I think.
That's right. And let me put that straight. Selling shoes, selling stones, selling whatever, or whatever you do, kudos and respect if you do it with passion. And if there is no passion and you have the chance to, you know, develop and move into the direction of the things you want, it might be hard, but I would vote for try it at least. Although parents might say,
yes.
You know, like, no, you got to stick with your job. It pays your bills. And
yep.
We only have that, you know, that one shot here right now. So as far as we know, right? So try it at least. Don't.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And also, kind of bringing that back to something we said earlier, even if you try it and you find out that you don't like it in the end and you stop doing it after a year again, at least you know what you got. You got that expertise.
Exactly.
So just like we said before, you might be able to then be a better manager for people who do like that position just because you've gone through it. You figured out you weren't great at it. That's fine. You didn't have the passion for it. That's fine. But at least you kind of know what the other person... job entails, what their responsibilities are, what the challenges are, and then you can become a more understandable manager or a team lead or something like that.
I do agree. So, you know, it's kind of taking a risk, I would say. Sometimes, you know, developing into a direction one wants to be expert in, and when you find out you don't like it, I think you also have to be honest to yourself, you know, admit it.
Absolutely.
And that might take a lot of courage, because you know, like, admitting to yourself that you don't like something anymore, or you actually don't like doing the exact thing that you're doing right now, no more, is that takes balls, right?
And I think, especially if it's tied in with financial benefits, let's put it that way. Especially if you figure out, hey, I'm making good money selling this shitty product, but I don't think I'm that good at it actually. I'm not passionate about it, and I kind of feel like it's a shitty product. And I think that's where a lot of, like, unhappiness in jobs comes from. Not even about, like, people are always talking about, oh, I'm working too much, or people need to work less and focus more on other things. I don't really believe that's it. It's more about hating every single second that you're being there. And then it doesn't really matter if you do it for 6 or 9 hours a day. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it better if you're there for longer, of course, but that's not the root problem.
Exactly. Yeah. No. You could even start, you know, I don't know, coming up with some unhealthy compensating mechanism, something that you try to, you know, like, only live for the weekend and you waste like 5 days per week with something you don't like. Not recommended.
Nope. Cannot recommend it. So I think that's why we jumped around a lot between things that we did and focused on.
Oh, yeah.
And jobs we had and whatever. I can only recommend it to everybody who's not even who's young, but who anybody who doesn't feel like they have like a lot of responsibilities in their life right now, and they still have that freedom.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done, and you found out, nah, it's nothing for me?
Oh, that's a hard question. The craziest thing for me, I'll take it another direction, is when I used to live in Vienna, I used to wash dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Working in big kitchens, hotels and catering companies, washing dishes and actually really enjoying it. That was the biggest surprise for me because it had nothing to, because I was still studying music and there was so much theory and you just sat down and worked on your stuff, and washing dishes was more like, here's a pile of dishes, clean them. And nobody cared how you did it.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about the theory behind it or figuring out a really smart way to do it. And it's like, you know, take the plate, you throw it in the dishwasher and you wash it.
Yeah.
You know? So that was the biggest surprise for me that I actually enjoyed that. What was the biggest one for you?
Dude, I still have it ahead of me. Still looking, you know, in my spare time, I would really like to work like in a car wash place, like, you know, like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's same thing with you. It's just like, you know, it's Saturday morning, people, you know, rolling and coming up with their big Benz cars and whatnot. And, you know, these pressure washers, you know, like you direct them over and you simply, you know, you just fool around with water all the time, see nice cars. Have maybe some music in your ears and just easy
wash cars,
dude.
That's it.
Yeah, no tax shit or whatnot. Just fucking wash cars.
Yep, just wash cars and that's it. I mean, I think we're gonna end it at that. And question for our audience just came up with that, a thing that might be fun. Tell us the craziest job you ever had. If that was like a busboy at a restaurant or I don't know. Just tell us down below in the comments what your craziest or most unusual job was.
Something
I think that might be really
something
fun.
you still want to go for, right?
Or something you still want to go for. Absolutely. So thank you very much to everybody who was watching. We want to keep these pretty compact, these podcast episodes, because it just seems to really work out for us. And also, it doesn't take too much time out of your day. So let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you really hate these kind of talks and you want to hear more about, like, I don't know, music equipment or whatever. Feedback, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a comment down below. Leave us a good review and share on all other platforms wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.